you should be quite skeptical of other people's opinions, you know, because you know, you will know what's best for you. You're the one who trains all day long. You do have a very good sense of what you can do. But he's someone where I would put him on that those list of players, whereas an outsider, you look at like what's meta, and okay, if you remember at season six, it was like Jin and Ashe and stuff, you know. You look at it and you go, why didn't you play any of these champions? What the hell? Like you're not gonna play Jin ever, you know? Like you know, there's really good players playing it, you know, dude, like look like Deft or whatever. You think to yourself, you know, these guys are so good, surely they could just pick these things up and it, you know, it'd be like another weapon in their arsenal. But they can be very stubborn, you know. They think, no, I'm just gonna only play these, or that's just a trash champion, it's too easy or whatever. Does he have that kind of a weird element to him?
Yeah, I mean, he's fairly stubborn about the champions he plays, what he thinks is good. You'll see people playing something and just say, no, it's just horrible. It's just not good. But I think it's, especially since he was removed from our team, and that was a big problem that we had, I think it's something he's become a lot more aware of. And I've noticed on TL, it seems like he's playing a lot more champions and his champion pool is more wide. But on our team, there was definitely a problem with him wanting to choose the champions that he's playing and what he's building. And similar to me, I guess, in season five, where I feel like he doesn't have a lot of respect for players that might be more accomplished than him or might be performing better than him, like the top team in Korea, seeing how Prey or Bang are doing certain things. I didn't feel like he was very open to those things. But I mean, every player comes with negatives, and that's just one of the things that you have to deal with to get the positives of having Peter on your team.
Now, here's the funny thing. One of the ways people used to mock Doublelift before he won with CLG was they used to link to a subreddit called Doublelift's Trophy Case. And the whole joke was, well, it's empty, isn't it? The subreddit's empty. His trophy case is empty. Ha ha, loser. Ha ha, talking shit. You haven't got anything. People used to harp on this. People used to blame him for his team's failures because he was a focal point. They'd be like, you're the one who's too toxic and you're breaking your team up and all the rest of it. Let's just stop a second and consider something. The idea that he wasn't good because he wasn't winning and that he was the reason his teams didn't win, I'm calling bullshit on that. It wasn't the case skill-wise or as a teammate. It's bullshit. Now, first of all, skill-wise, he was always good enough. And except for times at Season 3, I think he was always one of the best Western AD carries. And in fact, one of the best, I'd say top 10 in the world most of these seasons, even if he didn't make Worlds. Then in terms of the idea of like, as a teammate, was he the main reason? No, he was certainly a reason why some of those players had issues, but they had issues of their own anyway. I think you would have saw that with or without him. I think you have seen that with or without, and with other certain teammates. I don't think you can blame it all on him. And also, yes, he's a very stubborn type of player, very forthright, headstrong type of player. But you have to put players around that sort of player who can work with him. You don't put someone who's going to mentally break with Michael Jordan, because Michael Jordan will mentally break a motherfucker. And that's what he did to a number of teammates. And as a result, they won't give you performance. You look at the people they put around Michael Jordan in his championship years. Even if they were bench players, these were people who either could handle his trash talk and his demeanor, or the coach could get to them and say, listen, don't worry about whatever he says. You're just going to do this one very small responsibility for me here. And if you do that, you've done your job. Don't worry about him. They had great coaching as well, didn't they? It wasn't just Michael Jordan who turned it around his career. He got one of the best man management coaches of all time. Doublelift didn't have this until he got Coach Chris. Soon as he had a man management coach, he won the fucking LCS. What do you know? Is that obviously to be on TSM means there is insane scrutiny that isn't with any other team. Like, even if you're on a team that's just as good as TSM, the expectations if you're on TSM is that you, like, basically, if you don't win the split, you failed. If you don't make Worlds, you've definitely failed. If you make Worlds and you don't go out the groups, you've failed. It's like, basically, you have to be one of the best teams in the world, and you have to accomplish big. It's, you have to win, or that's it. There's nothing. There's no cool way to explain away why you didn't win. So, is there an element to that atmosphere that is like, is that part of what's contributing to why the team has had its problems? Like, it's not an excuse. I'm just trying to really get a sense of what it's like to be in the team.
No, I think it's a double-edged sword. Like, there's times where Reginald would come into the team and be like, guys, you need to uphold like TSM's legacy. We've never not made the finals. Like, we've always been in the finals. We are supposed to win every split. Like, we'd never don't make Worlds. And those kind of things can be daunting at first, but like, it could also be super motivating because you'd be like, holy fuck, like, what am I doing? Like, why am I sleeping? Why am I watching YouTube? Like, if I fuck over TSM's legacy, I'll be the first team. I'll be the first player on that roster part of the first roster that just ruins a tradition. And I mean, now it's broken, but when I was on the team, it was like a huge motivating factor.
Yeah. Luckily, it wasn't you. You were gone by then.
It was close to the All-Star, but we made it. The other way you could take it is like, you know, you could just be like, holy shit, that's a lot of expectations. You could like, I don't know, guess get in your own head. But I actually really enjoyed that part of TSM. I think having a winning culture, which is like a really overused term, but it's like the best way to describe it. It actually helped a bit.
Even though obviously it's years ago now that the whole thing happened with getting kicked out of CLG and then whether or not Aframu was directly responsible or whatever, or maybe he was just a voice in it, right? By the time you played 100 Thieves in the spring finals, and then by the time you played them in the semis of summer, etc., was there still any sort of element of like, I want to beat Aframu, I want to, you know, get revenge over him, all that shit? Was that still a present thing?
Not really. At that point, I was so disconnected with like the time that we'd spent together and the revenge that I wanted. It was like 2 years, so I didn't really feel like it. But I thought it was pretty cool. That was my favorite teaser of all time. I'm gonna like give you guys a quick throwback. It was the one where it's old clips from like 6 years ago of me and Afro, and like they're asking after like if he wants to win it all, and he's like, yeah, of course I think I can win it all, and like they're asking me where I think I'll be in 5 years, something like that. It was like a really, really sick hype video, and it made me feel pretty good that like, even despite like all the shit me and Afro have been in, how long we've been in it, like we're still meeting each other in the finals. That means we're hella good.
Now yes, Doublelift's macro can still be iffy. Amazing laner though, amazing in team fights, he can be stubble in lane still. Needs to be catered to, similar to Forgiven in that sense, similar to Uzi I, by the way. But you know what? If you have a stud racehorse, you don't waste your fucking time having him pulling boggies around the farm, do you? You put him in races and have him race and go as fast as he can. You understand his amazing strengths, you cater to his strengths, and you win championships as a result. So, you know what? When he resolved some of his issues as a teammate, and he found out how to channel some of his frustrations or his passion or his drive into a productive direction, note productive, not positive, being universally positive, as I've heard people like Smithy and Aframu does, it's all great when you've got the right team to win. When you have lesser pieces, you're just really great guys who are all friends who lose together and have a nice hug in the bus back home when you didn't make the finals. That doesn't really work either. So you need to be able to channel that drive in a way that challenges a teammate or gets something resolved or clears a hierarchical dispute, a communication dispute. And actually, that can be a positive in terms of the outcome. It might not seem positive at the moment. You might have to be critical or really drive people, but the outcome can be positive. And since the outcome ultimately that you're all going for is to win the championship, we've seen Doublelift's approach works. He has won more championships in the NALCS than any player who is not called Bjergsen. Take some responsibility, mate. In general, by the way, that's going to be my theme for this video. Take some fucking responsibility. Become men. Do you know what men are? Do you know what like the virtues of being a man are? Like courage, fucking bravery, like stand up for what you believe in, fight for what's yours, defend your fucking homeland, your people, your tribe. Give me a break. Like, have none of you got any fucking pride in yourself as men? What is this? What is this region? Where are the men? Where are the leaders of men? Where the fuck are they? Like, in my opinion, NA loses the mental battle before the match even begins. Because they've got some sort of fucked up inferiority complex. But then, when they complain, they've got superiority complex where they think they should have everything. They should be the best. Like, which is it? This is tearing me apart.
Publicly, the perception is, wow, okay, yes, CLG was really loyal to Doublelift. You know what? Doublelift was super loyal to CLG too. And all the time, he's just this, even for all his flaws, he always just wanted to, you know, he loved, I mean, the story he's even said is like, you know, I love those guys. Like, you know, Hotshot and Chouster were the gods to me when I joined the team. I have to stay and respect them and all that stuff. Can you tell me anything on this topic? Is that accurate?
I think that if any improvement has been made that is positive to the team, is Peter being able to hide what he's feeling or wants to say. It hasn't been to improve himself. Progress there has been mostly physically and mentally, but emotionally it hasn't been progressed. And so really it's just, it's almost completely untrue. And I'm not sure if it's good to bring up very clear scenarios where that's not true on this show right now, after 3 days after, 4 days after the announcement.
Okay.
I mean, personally, I want to because I felt like I've kept in a lot for so long, but it's just like, part of me is conflicted because, like, a lot of my staff and organization are like, you know, you need to calm down, George. You need to take it easy, like, and you just like take the high road. But it's like, I don't know what the right answer is.
Sometimes a thing that Doublelift says that's wrong or stupid isn't even like he's not an evil genius. Sometimes he just says things without thinking, or doesn't even think like what the details were, and just says it in a really extreme manner. So for example, he said like, oh, I was just cut at 2 a.m. in the morning, which is like, I mean, if we take that as the only fact, it's like, holy shit, that makes it sound like someone came and woke him up out of his bed. Like, Doublelift, you have to get the fuck out now. You're out of CLG. Like, what? I was sleeping. Like, it sounds like that's the most extreme way you could describe the situation, right?
Yeah, it's like it's completely not, it's completely a one-sided perspective from a very emotional person. And like, it's when our side, like, we take hours of days and weeks of deliberation, and we talk through it so much, like, we obviously try to fix the problem. It's not something we've never tried to fix. I mean, resources, sports psychologists, team bonding, exercises, you know, just general and attention, effort, coaches, you know, like, a lot of effort goes into fixing these problems. And then to, like, hear that 2 a.m., like, we threw him out on the side of the street, and then he woke up in a box, like, all dirty at TSM's house, and then, like, throwing the jersey in the trash, like, what? That is so fucking bullshit. And it's like, I don't know what to do, Thorin. I don't know what to do, man.
In the summer, he wins the title in a dominant performance. Yeah, after the death of a family member right before the final. And even though he had the option to sit out, no one would blame him. No one would ever criticize him. He persevered. He played the final. He was dominant. He won easily. That matchup and that particular circumstance, if it wasn't for the tragic nature of it, I don't know if he'd want to be a part of this. That should be the stuff of legend. That's like when Favre had that game where he hit like the 4 touchdowns and like almost 400 yards passing a day after his father died. Because he understood, I could sit this out, I could be destroyed about it, but that's not who I am. I'm the guy who goes out there and I perform at my highest level, and I show you there. There you go, that's the tribute. That's what you meant to me, is what I was capable of doing here. I wouldn't blame anyone who wouldn't be able to do it. But as a result, I'll give even more credit if you can do it. That's some legendary shit. Bow down. Fucking respect. So, to me, I think one of the defining characteristics of his career, and the ultimate example of that whole saying of like, the best revenge is success. You know the reason why that is, by the way? Because when you succeed, you don't have to give a fuck about that loser anymore who's criticizing you. They're in the rear view mirror and you're just loving life. You don't even think about them anymore. It doesn't matter whether they're mad or not. And believe me, they will be mad. Because when people did that Doublelift's trophy case subreddit, where famously it was empty and that was the joke up to like season 5. And people went super hard on the idea, like, if you're so good, why don't you win? Well, guess what he did, didn't he? He showed domestically that you can sit the fuck down. He dominated. He won like 8 out of 10 splits. He was in 9 out of 11 finals after that period of time where you made that fucking subreddit, wasn't he, homie? Without him, TSM only has 4 titles out of the 7 that they've won. He's responsible for almost half of their fucking domestic dynasty. Not Reggie, not just Bjergsen. I saw Bjergsen on his own with tons of talent around him. What would he able to do with the best in the West, right? What was he able to do with legendary players as his junglers, as his different positions on the map? Exactly. Everyone needs a support network, and mine is, of course, my Patreon community, the Scrumanati, who in many ways, they're the Sonny to my share, saying, I got you, babe. So this video and all the others on my channel were kindly supported by the following names: Ahmed Aju, Mac Pugnacho Rakula, Adam Tomlin, Animosity, Jensen Gore, Tosh, Toucan, and you know it. Jerky's minion, my main man, always going to be referenced, one of the best patrons of all time. Would you like to ask a question in my AMA? Maybe you want to suggest a topic or a guest to see on my channel. Do you want teasers? Find out who the upcoming Reflections and Talk to Thor interviews are. Maybe you want to do one of those long discussions where you get to set the topics we talk about. Well, if any of these or others appeal to you, put your money where your mouth is. Join the Scalluminati today via the Patreon link in the description box below.